This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, jumping on with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is Bobby Trossett. We've had Bobby on the show many times to talk all things Baltimore sports, but specifically the Ravens. He is the co-host of the Ravens Vault podcast with his partner, Sarah Gellison. You can follow Bobby on X on Twitter, at Bobby Baltimore. All right. I mean, you know what it is for us down here. This is the, you know, single biggest spotlight game early in a season that we've had in, you know, perhaps decades. You guys are used to it. I'm just curious what the kind of excitement level up there for this game is.
Yeah, I'm expecting the bank to be rocking. The entire DMV is going to be trying to get this ticket. My brother's coming down from New York, and he's like, you got any plugs for tickets? I'm like, well, just go check Game Time or something. And he writes to the group just 20 minutes ago that, you know, cheapest tickets are well north of $250. So this is, it feels like this is sort of uncharted territory, right, for these two teams. And I think while it's not a rivalry by any stretch of the imagination, there's a ton of interest surrounding it for two reasons. One, the high-flying offenses, and obviously the quarterback play. So I'm looking forward to finally seeing Jaden. I watched a little bit of that Monday night football game against Cincy. Boy, he is surgical in the pocket. He's fun when he escapes as well. So there certainly are some similarities between him and Lamar. I think he's a more refined passer at this point in his young career than Lamar was in 2018 when he came in for Joe Flacco in season and kind of rode the team to the playoffs and whatnot. But looking forward to seeing the development.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, by the way. I think that Jaden, just the comparisons to people like RG3 in particular. I mean, RG3 was never a refined passer. Two totally different quarterbacks. There's no comparison whatsoever. Jaden's just light years ahead of where RG3 was as a rookie. And I think he's, you know, a more polished passer, even probably comparable, if not better, than Lamar is right now. But I wanted to ask you, because I did go back and watch the Cincinnati game. I think that's one of the best all-around games I've ever seen Lamar Jackson play, especially as a passer. Was there conversation about that in Baltimore this week?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, earlier on in his career, the knocks were he can't erase double-digit deficits in the second half or really at any point throughout a game. He erased three of them in one half last weekend at Cincinnati. And can he win from the air? And I think it wasn't just Sunday that he's proven that. You know, there have been plenty of times. I think about a Monday night game a couple years ago with the Colts in a shootout type style. But as you know, the Ravens have gone on these runs, whether it was 2019, 2023, you know, other stretches of time in between those seasons. And they've just completely dominated on the ground and just run you out of the gym, run you out of the stadium. And right. So to see them win in the way, the style that was required, was Cincinnati selling out to stop Derrick Henry, but yet when the lights are brightest and he's got 41 rushing yards going into overtime and they let that 51-yarder happen. And it's just like, that's what puts this team over the top. So, yeah, it was an impressive victory, obviously, from a defensive side of things. In a win, in a shootout, there's going to be a lot of conversation surrounding the secondary, and there has been this week, and I expect them to be put on notice if they're not time on task here with what Jaden showed that he could do from a vertical passing attack standpoint. But Zach Orr made a decision this week. He's bringing in Dean Pease as a senior advisor. He needs help. He's 32 years young. If he hadn't gotten hurt with all those injuries at the linebacker position, the guy would probably be still in the league. So it's just a lot of turnover, kind of like Philly's staff a couple years ago after they made their Super Bowl run. And I think you're just seeing, much like the Chiefs, even though they're unbeaten, the Ravens are sort of learning on the fly while winning games, which they've done the last 3 weeks.
I want to get to the defense here in a moment. And I had mentioned, you know, Dean Pease being brought in as an advisor. But sticking with Baltimore's offense, and in watching the game last week, and look, we've had a chance to watch most of their games, right? The Cowboy game was nationally televised. The Buffalo game was. The Kansas City game was. But, man, they're in 12 and 13 personnel. It seems like a lot. They've got the big fullback in Ricard. Washington plays, you know, a lot of teams. They don't play a lot of base defense. They play a lot of nickel. But just tell me about the three tight ends, you know, in Andrews and Likely, and then Kolar, who came up big in the game last week, and then the fullback. I mean, how do you stop that?
Yeah, people don't even know who Charlie Kolar is because it's been the Mark Andrews show for years. And, you know, obviously with the hip drop tackle injury that was a kind of a gruesome ankle setback for him on Thursday Night Football last year, he rushed his rehab to get back. You know, like he rushed his butt off to get back for the AFC title run. And so he wasn't himself. And he really hasn't been himself for stretches of time so far through these 5 weeks. But it doesn't matter because they're just so deep in that room with Isaiah Likely, an emerging star. And now Charlie Kolar, who Tom Monken seems to love this guy. He does a lot for him. The other day, he took a direct snap. I can't even remember the game that it was. Maybe it was the
short yardage.
Yeah. He direct snap, QB sneak, Charlie Kolar. We were all like, what? So, yeah. Their heavy packages, Kevin, are just so, so lethal. If Pat Ricard, you know, 300-plus pound fullback that you alluded to, is out in front of Derrick Henry, like, good night. Good luck. I don't care if you have a young offensive line the way they do. They've had their growing pains. They will continue to, I'm sure. There are some injuries up and down that. They're trying to figure out life after Morgan Moses and John Simpson and Kevin Zeitler, who, you know, they're not household names, right? But they provided stability at their respective positions. So it's not as magnified because of that heavy personnel that clears lanes, just clears space, you know?
We're talking to Bobby Trossett. Bobby is the co-host of the Ravens Vault podcast. I've known Bobby forever. Does a great job covering the Ravens and Baltimore sports. So let's flip it to the other side of the field. What's been wrong with Baltimore defensively?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it a second ago. I'll expand on it a little bit just because of, like, I likened it to what happened with Philadelphia a couple years ago. And while this can't be an excuse 5 weeks from now, I would use it as one in the early going, and that is all the turnover from last year. You know, I'm not just talking about players too, like staff. Mike McDonald goes on to Seattle. Anthony Weaver goes on to become the DC in Miami. Denard Wilson, DC in Tennessee. So you're losing, you know, sort of that cohesion from a coaching standpoint. And then you lose Jadeveon Clowney, who had a career year up front, ton of pressures, 9.5 sacks. You lose Patrick Queen in the middle at linebacker, who was a Pro Bowler last year, and then Geno Stone, who somebody they developed, seventh rounder out of Iowa several years ago. You lose him in free agency. He had 7 or 8 interceptions last year for them on the back end. So, you know, there is that component. But then when you look at it, it's a lack of execution. There is so many missed assignments in the back end. Marcus Williams is struggling. Marlon Humphrey is banged up right now. He left Cincinnati with a walking boot on. He's been limited this week, so we'll see how that trends towards Sunday. But honestly, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm kind of salivating right now because the secondary is open for business. It's open season, and I get it. Joe Burrow's got the best playmakers in the business. But Jamar Chase had 193 yards. T. Higgins had almost 100 on top of that, and they combined for 4 touchdowns. So it's not good enough, and it really – I know it starts up front, But when you look at the Ravens and their woes so far, more aside from the Buffalo game, it's been middle of the field that's been soft, and it's been on that back end.
So up there, what are you guys talking about in terms of the matchup against Washington's offense? Are you expecting, you know, to slow it down, or do you think this is a shootout like a lot of people do?
Harbaugh has had a lot of success over his tenure against rookie quarterbacks. I think you throw that statistic out, throw it out of the window. Because Jaden's not your typical rookie. I mean, they got – how many years at LSU? How many did he play there?
Two.
Okay. But the guy's like one of the more experienced rookies that we've probably ever seen, right? And so I expect them to score points. I expect them to move the ball on this defense. Now, here's the funny part. I don't expect them to run at will. This is the number one – matter of fact, I have the statistic right here. This is insane. Yeah, look at this. This is the number one ranked rushing defense in Baltimore. You know what they are pass-wise?
Near last.
31st.
Yeah.
They're 31st. They're letting up 280 a game. So, they handled Josh Allen, but we know that Josh Allen's playmakers are – there's a lot of them, and he's distributing the football a lot. But I just see this as an opportunity, a major opportunity. I still have the Ravens winning 35-24, but I don't see any reason why Jaden and company, led by Cliff, the way that offense is humming, being able to put up 20-plus.
Yeah, the defensive coordinator, Zach Orr, who is getting, as Bobby pointed out, some help from former defensive coordinator Dean Pease this week, who's coming in as an advisor, said about Jaden Daniels yesterday, quote, "We don't look at him as a rookie. We look at what we see on film, and we see him as one of the top quarterbacks in the league," closed quote. And that has been that's an accurate assessment of the way he's played. I mean, we're going to watch two of the three or four quarterbacks that have played at the highest level so far through 5 weeks. Tell me about Justin Tucker. He made a huge kick last week from 56 yards out to tie it late in regulation, but there was like that stretch going back to last year where he couldn't make a kick from 50 plus.
Yeah, I have the statistic to go along with that. Going into last weekend, he was 1 for his last 7 from 50-plus. We're talking about the most accurate of all time. You know, we're talking about somebody who is pretty much routinely, single-handedly good for winning you at least one game per season, and he's been in the league for 10-plus years. So to say it's been jarring for those around these parts, you know, is probably not – it's just not accurate. You know, it's been extremely jarring. It's been more than that. And so for him to step up and hit a 50-plus yarder with the game on the line and then a little, you know, chip shot in overtime for a little boost of confidence, it's got him trending in the right direction. They're downplaying it from a special teams perspective. But, hey, he's been around a long time, and there has been a lot of change to his operation. You had a long snapper go down last year with an injury. Tyler Ott was brought in, and nobody really talked about it. But, you know, kickers are just they're so cerebral, right? They're so systematic, and he's always mentioned that everything is a system. Everything is detail-oriented, and when that gets when there's turnover there or when there's change or adjustment, sometimes, you know, the continuity isn't there. But, look, I'm not certainly not pulling any kind of emergency handle there, but good bounce-back opportunity for him.
Speaking of Tyler Ott, he is the long snapper in Washington, and our kicker, Seibert, who they signed after week one, has not missed since he arrived. You said this at the very beginning, and I just want people to hear the Baltimore perspective of it, because I did, you know, yesterday we took calls. This is, for me, this is not a rivalry. You don't have rivalries with teams that aren't in your conference, but you said the same thing at the beginning. So just, is that kind of how I think Baltimore fans feel about this game? It's kind of cute. It's the battle of the beltways. There's some geography here, but you know, how would you describe it?
Well, I sure hope so. Yeah, I'm with you, you know, and I mentioned earlier on, like you said, a team that has had a series history that's consisted of 7 games, 2 teams. Like, that's just that's insane. That's ridiculous to call it a rivalry. I guess there's some probably from geography, you know, geography wise, maybe there's some fun household rivalries going on between families, right? But like, to call it a rivalry, and I hope this is this is like a collective thought, because otherwise we have all different definitions of what it means to be a rivalry. But, you know, if nothing else, it's just nice to see in a non-preseason format this game be talked about nationally. NBC, as you probably have heard, wanted to flex it to Sunday Night Football, and CBS was like, okay, we're going to protect our contractual right here and make sure that our A-team, you know, Nance, Romo, and Wolfson get it. So that's what's exciting to me. I'm going to be out pregame streaming at one of the tailgates outside the stadium, and seems like there's a lot of feel that it's a primetime game, but it's not.
Health-wise, what do the Ravens look like heading into this one?
Some uncertainty. It's a hefty list, too, that came out yesterday. I already mentioned Marlon Humphrey. That'll be one to watch just in terms of how he trends over the next few hours into today, because he left Cincinnati with a walking boot on. As I look around the list, too, Rashad Bateman with a groin. He's been a complimentary piece for them. He's their former first rounder from a few years ago out of Minnesota. Somebody who's had a reliable season so far, but health has been a big knock of his. He was limited yesterday, so maybe trending towards playing. What else is on here? A couple offensive linemen went down that were DNPs on Wednesday, but honestly, they have just so many guys like the Patrick McCarries of the world that are sort of your jack of all trades that I'm not going to sit here and even bat an eye on it. So, yeah, I would be looking at Marlon Humphrey, who was a DNP Wednesday, limited yesterday. I'd be watching him Friday if I'm a Commanders fan. And then outside of that, I think they'll be fine offensive line-wise. Ronnie Stanley's okay. He was a DNP on Wednesday, but he's played really well with a toe. So nothing crazy.
How has the rookie corner from Clemson played, Wiggins?
Yeah, Nate, he's fearless, sticky coverage. What, Xavier Worthy was a 4.21. I believe he was a 4.28 at the combine. So the guy's got ridiculous speed, good close ability, had an unbelievable forced fumble on C.D. Lamb in the red zone in Dallas a few weeks ago. But he's also been picked on a little bit. And as any cornerback that's aggressive finds, there is, you know, sometimes it's the Nate Wiggins experience, you know. So I would expect him to be tested. If I'm Cliff, I want to make sure he earns his stripes, and they obviously have the personnel to do that.
Bobby Trossett joining us. Tell me real quickly what you think the crowd makeup will be. You already talked about it. I mean, you can't get into the lower level for less than, you know, $600-$800. You can't get into the stadium for probably less than $300-$400, something like this. It is a ticket in demand. I think there are going to be a lot of Washington fans, and I'm just curious how often M&T Bank has had a significant, you know, it's not a takeover. I'm not suggesting that, like FedEx has been taken over, Bobby, but I know that there are a lot of Steeler fans in the crowd for that game. What are you guys expecting crowd makeup-wise?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think about teams like, I don't know, just over the few years that I've been covering it, maybe Buffalo has traveled really, really well. Like you said, Pittsburgh. West Coast teams every once in a while do okay just to make a trip out of it out east. But of course, I mean, I just feel like, you know, I worked a little bit, as you know, in the DC market starting out my career, and just to think about, even when this team is irrelevant, what the fan base consists of in terms of the commitment and the investment, I feel like they got to travel well now that they're actually relevant. I mean, they're relevant. And people are talking about Jaden. All I see right now this morning, as I've kind of gathered the headlines and whatnot, because we go live at 12 noon, is if Jaden wins this game, they're not just in the conversation as one of the best teams, but he's in the MVP conversation. So just that alone, I'd have to think that there's been a spark within that fan base. Not that there was one. Of course, there was one that was needed. But, you know, they're diehard. I expect it to be well-balanced on Sunday.
All right. You already told us your prediction, 35-24 Ravens. But if Washington wins the game, what's the number one reason how they got it done?
Picked apart the secondary and kept Derrick Henry at bay. And maybe Lamar struggles outside the numbers. Struggles from a vertical passing attack standpoint, where he has been inaccurate at times throughout his career. That'd be the formula.
Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well. I'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, Bobby Trossett, everybody, at Bobby Baltimore on X on Twitter. He hosts The Ravens Vault, one of the top podcasts covering the Ravens. All right, when we come back, we'll do a little Denton news, and then we'll have the smell test picks for the week, whether you want them or not. And then it'll be Ben at 12 and Mark Schlereth at 12:35. Denton and I will save our predictions for Sunday's game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game for the very end of the show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton. Had a lot of baseball yesterday. What else?
Well, we had a fun night in our region yesterday. The Northern Lights were visible. I know you're a big weather guy. It's not a snowstorm, but getting an aurora storm. I don't know what the actual name is called, but getting to see the Northern Lights in this area was pretty cool. I got out there and I saw them last night. Hopefully you did.
I did not. Not only didn't I didn't even know it was going on. You told me, like, I read about this morning, and then I mentioned it to you during the break, and you knew about it. I didn't know anything about it, and it appears as if DC had a really good look at it. So you got out and checked out the purple pinkish sky?
I did. So I knew about it because there was one that had happened earlier, or I guess later last week, and I missed it by a day in Maine. But because I knew about that, I found out that there was going to be another one this week. And it was one of those things where, at least where I live, and it would have been difficult because you're much closer to the city than I am with just in terms of light pollution. So you would have had to find like a really dark area town to be able to look up and see it. But even where I was, which is not as heavily light polluted, I had to crank the exposure up on my phone. But I did get to see it. It was really neat. You know, nice pink, a little bit of purple in there. It was really cool.
Wish I had known. Thanks for telling me about it. What else do you have?
As a weather guy, I thought you would have been all over that.
I know.
One.
Well, it's technically this is more sort of science. Usually I know about those things. I had no idea.
How about some baseball? Yankees take down the Kansas City Royals 3-1. They're going to advance the ALCS. Everybody in the MLB offices rejoices because they get the Yankees for at least another 4-7 games. Juan Soto 1-4 at the plate with an RBI. Not a whole lot of offense from Aaron Judge this postseason. Yankees fans not pleased about it, but they're moving on.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole was outstanding in this game. And basically, you know, in these last two games on Wednesday and Thursday, they got great starting pitching. They got it from Cole. Well, they got great pitching overall, but they got it from Cole. They got it from Schmidt and three relievers or four relievers in game three. And after losing game two, and yes, the league being a little bit frightened about the prospect of a Kansas City Detroit or a Kansas City Cleveland ALCS, they got the Yankees in it. And right now, the dream of Yankees Dodgers World Series still exists.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants. They want a little bit of that one. But we are going to get to see a game five in both the NLCS tonight with the Padres and the Dodgers, and then tomorrow with Cleveland and Detroit. Cleveland wins game four, 5-4 to force that fifth game. Nothing better this time of year than elimination baseball.
Elimination baseball is great. We get that, you know, Padres-Dodgers tonight, you know, with the intensity of that rivalry. That is big. Look, the Tigers had a shot in the bottom of the ninth. They led off, you know, I forget who it was. There was a double to lead off the inning. They had, you know, runners on. They got one in. Yeah, I think the last at bat, because I watched it, was a strikeout. But Cleveland, look, that would have been a big upset, just like Kansas City over Kansas City. I don't know if you want to call anything this time of year a big upset, because these short snapshot series, anything can happen. But Cleveland is certainly a much bigger and better threat to the Yankees than Detroit is.
Yeah, that they are. And our guy Lane Thomas has been playing pretty decent for them in the postseason.
Yeah, 2-for-4
so far
yesterday with an RBI.
And he had a huge homer, I think, in the wild card round that propelled Cleveland to get to the ALDS. So you always love seeing the former Nationals performing well.
Yeah, three of them in Philly are not moving on. Schwarber, Turner, and Harper. They're done.
How much do we really, like, when it comes to Kyle Schwarber, do you think of him as like a former National the
no,
way that you do with Harper and Turner?
I don't necessarily. I think of Turner and Harper, you know, much more. Just like, I mean, I don't know, Jesse Winker, do you think of him as a former Nat, even though it was more recently? I guess so. He's still alive and playing. He's a rather excitable young fella. Gets a little fired up on the field.
Yeah, got the tattoos too, long hair. He got everything going for him.
He scored a run in one of the games, I think it was game two, and just took his helmet off and just smashed it on the ground on home plate. But yeah.
That's what I love. Like, I want to see guys kind of be that. Like, I was actually a little upset. I watched a different replay of the Francisco Lindor thing yesterday.
Yeah.
I wanted a bat flip. Like, I feel like if you hit a grand slam in a baseball game and it's propelling your team to the next round, flip that bat. Because this is the last time you're going to see that opposition. Like, you're done with them. I'm going to flip that bat. One of my favorite all-time moments was that Jose Bautista bat flip. Where you remember that play where he knocks one deep and he just throws it? Like, I love
Lindor,
that sort of stuff.
Lindor is awesome, though. You know, and he's playing hurt. He's not 100%.
So he's a great player.
Ohtani, he's your MVP, but there is an Ohtani, and we get to see what he looks like in his first big, you know, it's a winner-go-home game tonight. That's why you watch tonight. You watch Dodgers, Padres, this rivalry, and you get to see, you know, what Ohtani looks like in the biggest pressure game of his career.
I know you're very locked into the WNBA Finals. Game one last night, Lynx win in overtime, 95-93. The WNBA commissioner also said that the finals next year will be best of seven, whereas now it's only best of five.
I did not know that the WNBA Finals were starting. However, I did see this morning that there was basically a ridiculous comeback in this game. Like the Lynx, this is Minnesota, correct?
Yes.
They were down 18 late in the first half, came back to win the game in overtime, 95-93. I have no idea who's favored in this series, Minnesota or New York.
New York, I believe. New York's been... Okay. If I am correct, New York has been the best team in the WNBA this entire year, and they have the early season favorites.
And they kicked this, you know, WNBA Finals series off on the same night that the NFL was playing its Thursday night game. How do you think it worked out for the WNBA?
Probably not great. I don't think you're going to see a lot of people publicizing those ratings, especially against the 49ers. Like, 49ers, Seattle's a decent brand just because of their recent success, but, like, the 49ers are a massive brand in the NFL.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Caps start their 50th season tomorrow. I'm going to have Joe B on the program with me. I'm sitting in on 106.7 tomorrow morning, so Joe B's going to jump on with me at 10:20. I'm excited for the 50th season for the Caps this year. I'm excited to see Ovechkin break the record. I'm going to speak that one into existence.
Well, I mean, you know, he needs 41 to tie, 42 to break it. He had 42 2 years ago. He only had 31 goals last year, but they were in the postseason last year. You know, they made it to the postseason in Spencer Carberry's first year. I think that was a bit of a surprise. Now, they were exited quickly by the Rangers in four straight. But, you know, I they're not getting a lot of preseason love. I kind of went through some of the preseason, you know, prediction columns and stories. But they all kind of view Washington's season as all about what Ovechkin does, along with the fact that it's 50 years in D.C., as we talked about at the beginning of the show. Pretty amazing. I mean, I remember when they arrived in 74. Let me just tell you, this was the furthest thing from a hockey town. Not that it is now, obviously it isn't. But, I mean, you just didn't have kids growing up thinking about hockey. And then all of a sudden, this like junior caps program started and kids started to play it. My brother-in-law was actually a junior cap and was a really good goalie, in part because he spent some of his childhood in Minnesota. yeah, 50 years, go Caps.
There's an ice what house else? By my apartment, not too far away. I learned ice skate there. All right, final thing here for you. We talked a little bit about the college football Project Rudy, which was the bid for a Super League with all 70 teams. Well, there was a big meeting yesterday in Nashville between the Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti and the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, along with a couple of other athletic directors of the power schools. But those two in particular, Petitti and Greg Sankey, who are viewed as the two most powerful guys really in college athletics, with Greg Sankey being the most powerful, they kind of shut down any talk of private investors yesterday and also made the claim that they don't feel like college football is broken. It's still very much in a position that with the right, they didn't say love and attention, but basically with the right love and attention, you can fix some of the issues that we are seeing and upset with on a regular basis as fans.
Well, we're upset about three things primarily: NIL, transfer portal, and conference reshuffling. And that's what we're upset with. The games, when they're played, are phenomenal. Saturdays are still great. This 12-team playoff, when we get to it on December 19th and December 20th, is going to be off the chain awesome. College basketball, you know, this has been a changing sport over the last decade, decade and a half. It's gone from being, you know, a four-month sport to a one-month sport, you know, to be fair. But still, that 1 month is still incredibly compelling and dramatic in a different way because we don't know the players and we don't have as much familiarity with the teams when we get there. But it's still a dramatic month. Got to fix NIL, transfer portal. And at this point, you know, what are you going to do with the other teams that aren't part of the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, and ACC? And what happens to some of these ACC schools? Do Virginia, North Carolina end up in the Big Ten? Do Florida State, Clemson, and others end up, you know, moving on? I mean, one of the games in my smell test is the biggest ACC game on the board this week, Cal at Pitt. I mean, that's not good for the sport, but we'll adapt to that because the games are still great. Saturdays, you know, noon to, you know, past midnight are awesome. And you and I think, you know, join a lot of college football fans in the anticipation for what this 12-team playoff will be. And by the way, the buildup to it, you know, the weekly shows, which start when? When do they start? In 3 weeks, probably?
Yeah, November, early November.
Yeah, and, you know, each week getting not, you know, the top four teams, but the top 12 teams. You know, you get that show every week, and it'll make a lot of these games at the end of the year incredibly important. It'll be really more conference championship games than ever before will have great meaning. I mean, we spelled out the other day the possibility that Army and Navy play back-to-back weeks. They play in their conference championship game, and then they play each other in their regular scheduled game, which is the week after conference championship Saturday, so and Friday night. That the games so far through, you know, 6 weeks, right? We're on week seven now. If you
this
count
will be week
zero,
seven. Yeah.
I They've been phenomenal, and we've got another great Saturday coming up, although it gets much better later in the day and at night.
Real quickly, one final thing here, because this is a little breaking. Second week in a row, Malik Nabers ruled out for the New York Giants, so he will not play against the Bengals due to that concussion.
Yeah. I like the Giants last week. I kept him in the smell test, even though he was ruled out. And I really like the Giants on Sunday night at home. I think the Giants are so much better on defense than most people think. Dexter Lawrence is having, an all-pro season so far. But, he's in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year so far. And he might continue to be. All right, anything else?
That's all I got for you.
Denton will do a little college football preview between now and the end of the show. I've got my...
Can you smell it?
It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
From Benji, stick with college, Sheehan. It's about to turn. I think it started to turn last week for you. Saturday night. Not a great start college-wise last week. At one point, I was 1-5, but won four straight games on Saturday night to close out a 5-5 week in college. 1-2-1 in the NFL, so that was one game under 500, 6-7-1 for the week. I am one game under 500 for the season. Long game here, boys and girls. Long game. Let's start with tomorrow. Cal at Pitt. Big ACC battle in Western PA. Pitt is undefeated. They are 5-0. They've had some close calls. They came back to beat Cincinnati earlier in the year. I had Cincinnati in that one, and that didn't happen. Had a really close call with West Virginia after a bit of a weather delay. Last week, I gave out Carolina against Pitt. That didn't happen. Carolina had plenty of opportunities to score more than the 24. Meantime, Cal blew a 35-10 lead late night to Miami and lost 39-38. Cal's been a really competitive team. They went on the road and beat Auburn. They should have beaten Florida State. Cal's getting 3. It's a short number. The public is backing the undefeated Pitt Panthers. I'll take Cal plus the 3. This is one of those, new Big Ten teams versus a long-standing powerhouse in the Big Ten that people were looking forward to, USC and Penn State. A little bit of luster off this game because USC lost at Minnesota last week. This line's been coming down. It was 5, 5.5. It's down to 4. I'm seeing some 3.5s out there. I'll grab it at 4. I like the Trojans outright in this one, but I'll take them plus the 4. Bad loss for them last week. Penn State has just been okay on offense. This one really reeks because Penn State has not only the lion's share of total bets, but the lion's share of the money on them as well. USC plus the 4. Colorado State is 2-3. They are home against San Jose State. They're getting a point. I'll take Colorado State to win that game plus the 1. Arizona and BYU. Was right about the Arizona game last week in that I had Texas Tech. I was wrong about BYU, but Arizona bounces back after that tough home loss to Texas Tech. They are a 3-2 football team. BYU undefeated. BYU's been impressive. I had them in their last game. I had the opponent in the last game, Baylor, and they jumped out to a big lead. They held on and won. They destroyed Kansas State. This line is awfully short for these two teams, and the public is really backing BYU. I'll take Arizona. Florida Atlantic is 2-3. They're home against North Texas, getting 5. I'll take Florida Atlantic in that game. Nevada is plus 3.5 at home against Oregon State as a 2-4 team against a 4-1 team. Public likes the Beavers. I'll take Nevada. This one's an interesting game. Ole Miss lost last week or 2 weeks ago to Kentucky. That kind of derailed their season a little bit. But they're still considered a playoff favorite if they can play well the rest of the way. The team that's not been talked about as a potential playoff team because they lost that season opener on Sunday night, Labor Day weekend to USC is LSU. LSU's actually improved a little bit defensively. Now, they have not played good offensive teams the last 2 weeks, but the public loves Ole Miss in this game, laying 3.5. This is, when you get a game in Death Valley at night, it is really tough on the opponent. Denton, this is a game that if LSU gets, we're then talking about LSU as a potential playoff team, not Ole Miss. I like LSU, the Tigers, at home at night. The big one, Oregon and Ohio State. That's also a 7:30 kick. Ohio State's a 3-point favorite. The public loves the Buckeyes. The Buckeyes have not really been tested at all. They've been dominant. Meantime, Oregon's had, they had the close call against Boise. They had that game early in the year against Idaho that was really ugly. They barely scored. They've looked like the lesser of the two teams. It's Eugene. It's Knight. Oregon's getting 3. I'll just tell you, I'm not a big Dylan Gabriel fan. I am a bigger Will Howard fan. And this had me just wondering from an analysis standpoint on whether or not I should fire on Oregon. But all of the contrarian key points are there. Public money on Ohio State, sharp money on Oregon. I'll take the Ducks at home plus the 3. How about Kentucky and Vandy? All right. Kentucky last week, 2 weeks ago, pulls off the big win over Ole Miss on the road. By the way, they have a 1-point loss to Georgia, the inexplicable 31-6 loss at home against South Carolina Denton, which we will not be able to explain, I don't think, at any point. Vandy beats Alabama. They should have beaten Missouri 2 weeks earlier than that. Pavia, the quarterback, is the talk of college football. How is Kentucky a 13-point favorite in this game? That is a lot of points. Public all over Vanderbilt in this game, catching what they think is an outrageously high number against a team that just beat the number one team in America. I'll take Kentucky and lay the 13. West Virginia's getting plus 3.5, getting 3.5 at home against undefeated Iowa State. This is a big one for the Cyclones. I think they are in for a bit of a tough night in Morgantown. I'll take West Virginia plus the 3.5. And then lastly in college, UCLA is truly the worst offensive team in America with Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator. They can't score. They literally can't score unless there's a turnover that sets up a short field. Here are their point totals in 2024. 16, 13, 17, 13, and 11. They played some good teams. They played Penn State, Oregon, LSU, Indiana. Hawaii's actually not that bad. They beat Hawaii 16-13. Minnesota just knocked off USC. And they're headed west, and they're laying 3.5, and nobody thinks UCLA can score enough points to keep it close. That's why I am on the fighting Eric Bieniemy's, the fighting UCLA Bruins, plus the 3.5. All right, let's go to Sunday and the NFL. Like last week, I liked the London game. I didn't hit on it last week. Let's see if we can get it this week. Jacksonville's catching 1.5 on the road, in London against the Bears. People starting to believe in Caleb Williams a little bit in the Bears. I'll take Jacksonville plus the 1.5. In the Washington-Baltimore game, there's no smell test on the side. There is a smell test pick on the total. I'm going under 52. This is all we've talked about all week. All anybody's talked about all week is how this is going to be 38, 35, 35, 31, 31, 28. This game sailing over the total. And let me just tell you, the public better in these big, high-profile games, especially the standalone games, not that Washington-Baltimore is a standalone game, they love to bet overs. Why? Because they're just easier to root for. It's easier to root for points and big plays than it is for, hey, I hope they get 3 yards and the clock keeps rolling. That's a hard, you know, cheer for situation. This is the most lopsided play on the board, the over in this game. I'll take under 52 Washington and Baltimore. New England's going to start Drake May. It doesn't seem like they're doing the kid any favors to start him. They have a terrible team. And yet Houston at 4-1 is laying only a touchdown in Foxborough. I'll take the Patriots plus the 7. The public's believing in an underdog, a 5.5-point underdog. If 5.5 points or more, 19-4-1 this year, I'm going to take a favorite in the Packers at home at Lambeau, laying the 5.5 against the Cardinals. I think Indy's an explosive offensive team with Flacco. Tennessee's laying 2.5. I can't stand Will Levis. And I think the public agrees, and they're all over the Colts. So I'll take Tennessee, lay the 2.5. Over Indy. Vegas plus 3 at home in the early afternoon 4:05 start against the Steelers. This is always, I mean, Big Tony will tell you, for whatever reason, they go west, play the Raiders in Oakland, in, you know, L.A. when they were there, and now in Vegas. It's always a bad spot. I'll take the Raiders plus the 3. I like the Cowboys plus the 3, the public, and the public is backing Detroit. There's super sharp money, I've been told, on the Cowboys. I'll take the Cowboys plus 3. The biggest side of the week is Atlanta laying 6 with the long layoff against Carolina, who got destroyed by Chicago. I'll take the Panthers plus the 6 to keep it close. And then I like the Giants Sunday night, even without Malik Nabers, plus the 3.5. That number may jump here, and if it does, like last week, because Nabers was ruled out, I'll probably, you know, put this out at the more favorable number. But I bet the Giants hang in there against Cincinnati in a must-win for the Bengals, which is why I think the public, John Q. Public, really likes the favorite in this game. I'll take the Giants. A lot of games, I get it. Let's go through them. Saturday, Cal plus 3, USC plus 4, Colorado State plus 1, Arizona plus 3, Florida Atlantic plus 5, Nevada plus 3.5, LSU plus 3.5, Oregon plus 3, Kentucky minus 13, West Virginia plus 3.5, and UCLA plus 3.5. On Sunday, Jacksonville plus 1.5, the Patriots plus 7, the Packers laying 5.5, the Titans laying 2.5, the Raiders plus 3, the Cowboys plus 3, the Panthers plus 6, and the Giants plus 3.5 on Sunday night. Ben Standing next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.